we've got to pray, and we do have to pray, and we sometimes feel, you know, that prayer can be a chore, and it's hard work sometimes, and sometimes we feel we're getting somewhere in prayer, sometimes we don't. But the wonderful thing about worship is, I believe that worship is the highest calling of any Christian. Amen. It's the highest calling of any Christian. It's the highest form of prayer, is worship. And so every time we worship the Lord and just adore Him and thank Him, that is the highest prayer you could ever offer. So don't think that, you know, when you're worshiping that you're not praying, because you are. You're spending time with Jesus. Amen. And that's what really matters, is spending time with Jesus. Even if you don't even pray for a thing, if you just worship, you won't have gone wrong, because it is the highest calling. And I want you to turn just in John chapter 4. I have shared this many times, but it's like Peter says, I write these things so that you might be reminded about them. And sometimes we forget some of the basic principles because we're human, and we got human minds, we forget things, don't we? Sometimes if we learn things years ago, we sometimes forget them. So it's good to remind ourselves about the things of God. And here in John 4, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, he's telling us the importance of worship. And verse 21, Jesus says, Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. There's a lot packed into that. Yeah. It really is worthwhile taking that home. If you forget everything else, go to John 4, 21 and 24 and just meditate on that. Because this is what God is seeking. He says here that, verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God seeks for us to have hearts that are true and are filled with His Spirit. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. Truth means the removal of all deception and all lies from our lives. You see, what Satan is the father of lies. And he comes to lie to us and deceive us. And so for a lot of our lives, we've been lied to. You know, we've been deceived. We've been lied to about who we are, and we've been lied to about what our purpose is. And that's the work of the enemy, is to distort the truth. But Jesus is the truth. You know, he is faithful and true. That's his name. He is faithful and true. And so God demands truth from us. Really, truth is the sincerity of heart. He demands sincerity. He wants us to be basically honest in his presence. And so we should come, the Bible says, pour out your hearts to Him. Now we've done that this morning, haven't we? It's been wonderful to worship the Lord together and to adore Him and to feel His presence. I can feel His presence all over this room. I feel the peace of God just flooding this room. We've engaged in warfare. We've engaged in prayer and intercession and sought the Lord and worshipped and adored Him. And these things are pleasing to the Lord. And these are some of our highest callings as Christians, is to worship. Now, you might not believe it this morning, and some people won't tell it to you, but you are a priest. Amen?
Amen.
Male or female, it doesn't matter. In Christ, there is neither male nor female. There is neither rich nor poor, neither black nor white, slave nor free. in Christ, you are a priest. Now, he's the high priest of the priests. And that means that you have a ministry to the Lord.
Yes.
Our ministry is first to God. So before we go out on the streets and we tell the world about Jesus, before we care for the sick, before we minister to the old and the frail, it's that our ministry must first be upward. Amen. Our ministry is to the Lord because we love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, we're giving him worship. We're giving him adoration. We're giving him thanks. We're blessing him. And we see that in Revelation, all riches and honor and blessing and wisdom and all things go to him. Because all things came from him. We came from him. Amen. He created us in his image. And in his likeness we are made. And so if we've received so much, we also want to give so much back. And God honors the generous spirit. So be generous in your worship. If you've worshiped for half an hour, go for an hour. Be generous. Seek God for more. If God has done a little bit in your life, let him do some more in your life. God honors a generous spirit. And let us remember that you are a priest. Every one of us, if you are in Jesus Christ, you are a priest. We're not wearing the robes. You don't have to. Amen. Just wear your jeans, wear your trousers. Just worship the Lord because we are clothed in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We are clothed with Christ. And he's the high priest. So you are a priest. And I really think, you know, that as Christians, we don't get this. We don't want to accept the fact that we are priests. But we are. At Revelation 1, and this is one of the best verses for it, and verse 6, in fact, just part of verse 5, it says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. So God wanted not just one priest. He wants a nation of priests.
Yes.
He wants a kingdom of priests. So what is a priest? It's not just somebody who stands in a pulpit. It's somebody who ministers to God. That's what a priest does. He ministers to the Lord. And this is the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and all our strength. So we're ministering to God as priests. Do you believe that you are a priest today? Noreen's going, no, I'm not so sure about that. The Bible says you are a priest. I'm not saying it so much as the Bible is. See, to him who loves us, praise God, he loves us. We accept that, don't we? And has freed us from our sins by his blood. So who are these people? They're Christians. These are believers. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. Right? So those two amazing things. He loves us. He's freed us from our sins by his blood. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests. So why don't we want to accept that bit? Because we've got man-made institutions in our world that says, that's a priest, I'm not. But the Bible says we're all priests.
Yeah.
You're going to accept the man-made stuff or the God-made stuff?
God-made
stuff, Richard, you got it right. So you're a priest. You're a priest in the sense that you are called to worship the Lord, to minister to the Lord, to bless the Lord, to adore him. Because for all eternity, you're going to be doing that. Not just that, I believe, because there'll be communication in heaven. You know, earth is kind of like heaven, but heaven's on a higher dimension. Amen? We got tarmac, they got streets of gold. You think worship's good here? Just wait till you get there. You will want to worship for hours. You will want to adore the Lord. And the thing is, in God's presence, there is so much on offer. So then you just begin to feel the presence of God. You begin to feel the love of God. You feel the blessing of the Lord. You feel suddenly God is manifesting through gifts, through the church. as he has given us gifts, amen? Gifts of prophecy, gifts of tongues, interpretation, gifts of miracles, signs, wonders, gifts of faith, gifts of multiplicity of gifts. There's so many gifts that God's given the church. And so suddenly we find that there's a prophetic song that God has given us in the place of worship. Because when we worship as priests and we lift our hands, we are entering into the very presence of God. And suddenly we are before the throne. Amen. The Bible says, let us approach the throne with great boldness and confidence. You know, I spoke about this a few weeks ago. Not with our tail between our legs, you know, but with like a lion. Let us approach the throne with great boldness, because this is our Father, the maker of heaven and earth. And he can answer us. And he can do great things for the church. And the church has got tremendous power. Amen. We have tremendous power. We look to our governmental leaders and we thank God for them. We should never criticize them, either party. We should just pray for them. But beyond that is the church is far greater than the government, because you've got a connection with God. The church has got a connection with the head, who is Christ, and we are the body. So we've got tremendous power in the earth, and that's why people like Elijah could pray for his nation and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. It's a long time. It's a powerful prayer. And then he prayed again and it started to rain. But the Bible says he was a man just like you. He was an ordinary guy. He had to eat food, he had to put on his clothes, he had to get up in the morning. He was just a man, he was just a person, just like you and me. But he prayed earnestly, and God heard him. You think God's not going to hear your prayers? He's going to hear your prayers, because you are a priest to the Lord. You're ministering to the Lord. And so this, friends, is our highest calling. You say, oh, Christians don't know what to do. Some Christians say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what my ministry is. There it is right there. You minister to the Lord. And out of that will come everything else. You get this right, then you get this right. Amen. You get the upward right, then the outward will come as well. Get the upward right, which is love God, and then love people. Amen. But this is your job. This is our ministry. Is to minister to the Lord. See, this is not something I'm making up. The Bible says that God seeks these kind of people. He's looking for people who will worship him and adore him. And what is that? It's just love, isn't it? It's adoration. It's worship, saying, thank you, Lord. And it's just enjoying his presence. As one of the great sayings of the churches is to love God and enjoy him forever. That's what we're here for. Amen. To love God. So we give him our worship. We give him our adoration. And as you pour out to him, guess what? He pours out on you. Amen. He begins to pour out his blessing, pour out his love, pour out his spirit. And he wants to put more into you. And you think you've got some now. He's got even more to give you. Now, I've heard of different men of God who've been seeking God. And God has just met with them in a place of worship and prayer, and God has just been pouring in so much love. They said, God, please stop, I can't take any more. I haven't got to that stage yet. But literally, it's been so powerful, it's like, God, I can't take any more. Some guy I listened to recently said, it was so powerful, I thought I was gonna die. It was just, God was pouring his love and his power into me. And this is what God wants to do, is empower the church, so that we become such a force to be reckoned with. But it's a power, it's an army that marches on its knees. And we're not here to destroy people. We're here to love them into the kingdom. But we are still an army. Terrible with banners, as I think he says in Songs of Solomon. You know, we are terrible with banners. We are powerful with the banners. The Jehovah Nissi, so the Lord is a banner over us. Which is what that means. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. He's the one over us. And so we march forward in our, on our knees. We march forward as the priests of God, but also as the army of the Lord. So it's like twofold. It's like Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion. And so there's a heart of servanthood, but there's also power in the church. There's a gentleness, there's a love, but there's a power. And this power should manifest through the church. And God has called us to enjoy his presence and to share in his power. Amen. God wants you to share in his power. Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Does the Holy Spirit come on you? I hope he did this morning. You feel his love. You feel his power. Amazing. This guy I was reading about, listening to his testimony, he went to Reinhard Bonnke and Crusader, and he just wanted to come and serve the man of God and just bring people in the wheelchairs, because they were just getting out of wheelchairs. Reinhard Bonnke passed away, was it yesterday? Great German evangelist, mighty man of God. Thousands, probably millions came to the Lord through his ministries. Yesterday he passed away into the presence of the Lord. Mighty man of God. I've been in his crusades in Africa. Incredible move of God. You've seen the prayer room as well. Wow, it was hot. It was powerful. Hundreds praying, crying out to God for more. But this man went there and he said, I had an open vision. I was at the front of the crusade and I saw the Holy Spirit as a giant dove moving over the people. And he says it was like beautiful silver on his wings. He was just moving over the people. Isn't that awesome? To get an open vision like that. You know, that reminds me of how Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. That's the Holy Spirit. He's so gentle, but so powerful too. He can do anything. God can do anything. Is there anything too hard for me, says the Lord? So our ministry is to adore the Lord and worship him. So our highest calling, and many people have just got so busy. The average minister now only spends 5 or 10 minutes in prayer every day. God, forgive us. Why? We just become administrators. We just got distracted. What's distracting you from the presence of the Lord? What's taking you away? Sometimes it's hard just even to get to church, isn't it? There seems to be the enemy trying to stop us getting together, because when we do, he knows God's going to show up. God's going to move. God's going to speak. God's going to speak through the message. He's going to encourage you. He's going to speak through the worship. And what an awesome time we had this morning, united together, praying for the church. It's just a simple prayer, but I believe the Lord has heard that. We pray, Lord, unite us together. And God is moving. Is there anything too hard for me, says the Lord? God can do anything, friends. Absolutely anything. So never think that your worship and prayer time is insignificant. The Bible actually says, when you pray, go into your room, and your Heavenly Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. See, we're all called to secret ministry. Some people like to be seen for what they're doing. That's the reward they get. But what you do should be done for the Lord. Whatever you do it for the Lord. And do it secretively. I know there's some things we can't help but do, public things, but let a lot of your ministry be secretive. Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. God has got a high calling on your life. Amen. It's a high calling. His calling on your life is as great as God's calling on my life. Many people think that people at the front have got a higher calling. I don't think they have. You're in the ministry. We're all in the ministry.
Yes.
I am a minister. Do you know what that means? It means I am a servant. Yeah. That's all that means. We've given it a big capital M and we've put it up there. But actually, the word minister means servant. I am a servant of God. And guess what you are? Servants of God. Amen. We're all ministers. And your ministry is to the Lord, and you worship the Lord, and then the presence of God comes and you receive power. See, what does he say here in Acts 1 verse 8? He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. That's power to do miracles. That's power to witness for Jesus. So you can go out on the streets of Chippenham and tell others what the Lord has done for you. I listened to a testimony of the Chinese church. I was going to show it this morning, but maybe the timing just wasn't right. It's only about 6 minutes long. And this girl was a cripple, and now she's healed. And now she goes around China preaching, the Lord Jesus healed me. Isn't that awesome? She was a cripple. She's totally healed now and walks and prays for the sick and preaches the gospel. And 1,000 people came to the Lord in that meeting. 1,000. Do you know how many people come to the Lord every day in China? 30,000. 30,000 people. This is an estimation. They say 20, but more likely 30,000 come to the Lord every day. And if it continues at that rate, in 2030, China will have more Christians than America. Wow. Hey? The underground church that is persecuted. One church, they met in a cave. That's the only place that was safe for them. You should see them weeping and crying. And they meet. And this guy went to preach. And they said, it was, I think, 8 or 7:30 in the morning. He said, how long do you want me to preach for? They said, keep preaching until 8 o'clock tonight. The whole day. They met for like 12 hours. And then they came to him afterwards and said, please, could you come tomorrow and do the same? And he realized that they didn't have Bibles. That they preached from Genesis. He said, please preach from Genesis to Revelation. Tell us as much as you know. Because they didn't have a Bible. And I saw another testimony of when Bibles were brought in, and they ran forward and they got the Bibles and they started kissing them, because they didn't have a Bible. They persecuted church, but they're full of passion for the Lord. And friends, we're going to need to have this passion stirred up within us. This passion needs to be developed. And here it tells us in the book of Timothy, he tells us to stir up the gift of God within us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, for this reason, and verse 6, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God has given you a spirit of power. Amen. You're not to be timid. You're not to be shy. You're not to be afraid. You're to stand up bold like a lion. Amen. Amen. Tell the world about Jesus.
Yes.
You can do it in High Street in Chippenham, or go and visit people, or you can do it online. It doesn't matter. There's 1,000 ways to tell the world that Jesus saves. Maybe God's going to give us some new ways of sharing the gospel. Let the word get out there. The word of God is what changes people's lives. As I said to you before, it's the word and the spirit. It's like the box of matches and the match. They can't work independently. You have to strike the match against the box, and then you get the flame. It's the word and the spirit. It sparks, and then it causes a reaction. So if you spark if this room is completely dark and you strike the match and against the matchbox, what happens? It causes a reaction in the darkness. Amen. It brings light into the darkness. So the word and the spirit always causes a manifestation. But he says it's up to you to fan into flame the gift of God. It's up to you to get this wonderful passion going in your life and put time and energy into it. Because there's tremendous power in the church. It's, the word is dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from. So there's power in you. I love what Robert Sheridan said. God spoke to him one day, and he was talking about a group of Christians. And God said to him, I can't get out of these people. I can't get out of them. But we've got to let God out. Sometimes through our inhibitions and our fears and our insecurities, we just hide away. We're like Elijah. Eventually he just wanted to hide away because Jezebel was out after him, and he wanted to hide in a cave. He went into a cave. And God said, what are you doing here? Get out and anoint Elisha. So he had to pass on the mantle. He actually wanted to die. It's a pretty bad place to get to. You're running away. You've just killed the 450 prophets of Baal. And you've shown the power of God. Fire came down from heaven. And now you want to kill yourself. The highs and lows of ministry. But friends, we're all in the ministry. We're all here to serve one another, help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. The gospel is not just preaching the gospel, it's also healing the sick. Amen. It's twofold. Jesus said, preach and heal.
Yeah.
Preach and heal. So pray for the people to be healed. I heard a marvelous testimony this morning of this man just on the Bethel music, and he said, I got prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. 20 minutes later, I felt electricity, and I started speaking in tongues. God filled with the Holy Spirit. God has got a way of doing things. And that happened for Trevor Deering, who's a minister in the Anglican Church. I don't even know if he's still alive. He was in his 80s when he came to Chippenham. And he was the same. A group of Pentecostal pastors prayed for him and prayed that he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an Anglican vicar, and nothing happened. And it was days or weeks later, he was filled. Amen. There's power in the laying on of hands. Things happen when we pray for people. So pray in faith and step out in Jesus' name. God wants to use your hands and your feet and your mouth and your creative ideas. God doesn't just work through one way. He can use a thousand or a million ways. But be busy for the Lord. Be active in His service. And He encourages us to get this passion going. He encourages us even to show a certain element of violence in determining to get more from God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 verse 12. When you find it, read it out loud and clear. Matthew 11 verse 12.
From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it.
Amen. So, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. You see, when John the Baptist came on the scene, it's like all the people just rushed to him. They wanted to be baptized. And he was preaching a message of repentance, wasn't he? And he was telling the people, get right with God. You know, get your lives sorted out. Repent or perish. And they flocked to him. And there was an eagerness. And there was a passion. They ran to him down by the River Jordan. And hundreds and thousands were getting converted. And that was preparation for the Messiah. Amen. Because Jesus was coming on the scene. Shortly after, Jesus was going to appear. And of course, we see that whenever Jesus appeared on the scene. And John had to baptize Jesus. And that's when we saw the vision. Or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But even when Jesus came on the scene, they flocked to him. There was a forcefulness running to Jesus. And we need to run to Jesus with a passion that will not be stopped. With a forcefulness. It says, forceful men, take hold of it. So you've got to be passionate and push through the crowd and say, you know, I want more Jesus. Like blind Bartimaeus, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out, and they told him to be quiet. Shut up, Bart. Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was desperate to get his miracle. How desperate are you to get to God and to get your miracle? Amen. There is so much more. Jesus wants to pour out a miracle in your life. He wants to pour out a blessing. And he cried out, what? Jesus, Son of David, and what can I do for you? I want my sight. Praise God, he cried out. Sometimes the crowd tries to intimidate us. Amen. Sometimes the crowd just tells us, shut up, be still. And Jesus said, cry out all the more. Cry out. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? Cry out. forceful men and women advance the kingdom. So that means we must get rid of passivity. We must get rid of our lukewarmness. We must get rid of the apathy. And sometimes we wake up and think, oh dear Lord, it's another day. I'm going to serve Jesus today. And other times we feel full of God, don't we? We've got to push those negatives aside. Push the tiredness aside. And press into the presence of God and go for more. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint. He was focused on Jerusalem. He said, I must go to Jerusalem. He knew he had to go to the cross. So you have to have a focus. You have to have a ministry that says, I'm going to push through the crowd. And look at people like Zacchaeus, and he climbed up the tree. He was just a little man, 4 foot something, I don't know. But he couldn't see Jesus. So he thought, I'm going to get up the tree. Praise God, salvation came to his house too. And he gave back what he had stolen. Was it 4 times, didn't he? Something. So salvation needs to come to our hearts. And there needs to be a passion. And so this violence, this forcefulness, and we've got to wake ourselves up and stir ourselves up. And as the message said this morning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let's get busy. Amen. There's so much to do, friends. Be busy with the work of the Lord. Jesus cried out with loud cries and tears to his heavenly Father. Loud cries. Has anybody heard your loud cries or seen your tears? You want to be like Jesus? Loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Lord, open us up. Set us free from ourselves. Sometimes the worst enemy is just me. It's just self, isn't it? And flesh getting in the way. And God wants to burst forth, to break open through the veil of flesh. And there's the sinful woman before Jesus, and she's got that ointment and that beautiful fragrance, that perfume, and it's in an alabaster jar, and she smashes it on the floor. And it's worth a year's wages. £25,000. Oh my goodness. That's an offering. That's an offering and a half. And she's weeping at the feet of Jesus, and she's pouring out her perfume on his feet and her tears on his feet. And I tell you what, there's the Pharisees thinking if he was a man of God, he would know who was at his feet. And he even knew their thoughts. Isn't that amazing? And he knew exactly what they were thinking. And he said to them, I came to this home. You didn't even greet me with a kiss, nothing. But this woman, since I've arrived here, has not stopped pouring her perfume and her tears onto my feet, preparing me for my burial. Isn't that awesome? The passion that she had, the sacrifice she made. She knew who Jesus was. Do you recognize who Jesus is? Because if you do, no cost will be enough. No price will be enough. You'll just pour out everything. Once you realize who Jesus is and how amazing he is and how he loves you so much and how he wants you for eternity and has captured you for eternity, then you pour out back to him. You pour out your soul to him and you pour out your worship and you pour out your fragrance and your perfume and you just pour out. Say, Lord, you can have my heart. You can have my mind. She just poured out everything. She was a sinful woman. Jesus knew exactly who she was, but she loved Jesus. Amen. She loved Jesus. Yes. And they were just despising him. And he knew exactly the difference. She had a broken and contrite heart, and they had self-righteousness. What a difference. Amen. So pour out your heart to him. Pour out your worship to him. If you do nothing else, just pour out your praise and your worship. And your thanksgiving. The Bible says, overflow with thanksgiving. Overflow. Let it overflow. Like you turn on the tap and it just flows out. Just let it pour out of your heart every day. Worship, adoration. Is he not worthy of the highest praise? Amen. Is he not worthy of our worship? Is he not worthy of our year's wages, our perfume, our worship, our adoration? Hasn't he done everything for us to get us to heaven, to live with him for all eternity? Hasn't he poured out his life for you? What are we going to pour out for him? Here's this sinful woman, and she's pouring out her soul and tears. When did you last cry in the presence of the Lord? You see, tears represent a broken heart.
was watching this guy on the worship the other day, and he was leading the worship, and he just broke in the presence of God. He just started weeping. I could just see God just broke him inside. And God wants us to be broken. That worship will pour out, and the adoration will pour out, and God loves to receive your worship. He loves. It's, the Bible says our prayers are like incense in golden bowls going up to heaven. I remember this man who was taken up to heaven, and beside him were all of these things flying past him. He said to the angel, "What is that?" He said, "That's the prayers of the saints flying up to heaven." Isn't that awesome?
Amazing.
Your prayers are powerful. As we pray for Chippenham, as we pray for this town, as we pray for our leaders, as we pray for our election this week, we pray that God will save and deliver and pour out His Spirit in this nation, that He will visit us once again. This is a land of revivals. We've had revivals before. May He do it again. And He wants to do it in your life. And we have to have this passion stirred up again. Lord, touch me and use me and give me a fire. Because if you don't have the fire, you're not going to do very much. You need the fire of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to take over. He's your senior partner. Every day you say, "Holy Spirit, come with me. Holy Spirit, baptize me in fire." So they got baptized in water, and then they got baptized in fire. Wow. It's awesome, isn't it? And that's what we read in Acts 1 in chapter 2. And listen to these amazing words with are recorded here on the day of Pentecost. And it's just incredible. Just awesome what happened on that day. Acts 2, verse 1, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Tongues of fire for Mike. Tongues of fire for Mike. Tongues of fire for Noreen. Tongues of fire for Richard. Tongues of fire for Roger. Tongues of fire for Sharon. Tongues of fire for Connor. Tongues of fire for Keith. Separated and came to rest. There's a violent wind. It's this forcefulness that God wants us to have. We have to be more forceful. And I've been in Bristol, and I saw that the Muslims out there preaching their message, and CDs and DVDs and literature, and unashamedly proclaiming what they think is the good news. And we hide away. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us for hiding away when we should be proclaiming with forcefulness. Jesus went out and healed the sick, prayed, raised the dead. Awesome, isn't it? He raised the dead. There's power in the church. Can you say that today? There's power in the church.
Power in the church.
Amen. There's power in me.
Power in me.
There's the Holy Spirit in me. There's fire in me. It says Psalm 104, verse 4, that He makes His ministers flames of fire. Amen. You're a flame of fire. Wherever you go, you take the flame. Glory to God. The flame of the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. When Jesus comes, He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. It actually means He'll baptize you with Holy Spirit fire. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this on our own. Cannot do this on our own. I finish with this amazing story. Yongi Cho, I listened to his testimony this week, and he said he only had 5 members in his church. An old American army tent, that's all they had. He spent all Friday night praying. Then he'd go down to the church every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4:30 in the morning, seek God. That's serious seeking God, isn't it? And he began, God showed him, you need to increase the church. And God began to increase the church. And eventually, church began to grow. And it just phenomenally grew. But it got to a certain stage where it just seemed to stop. And then God revealed to him, you need the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work. You need the Holy Spirit to bring increase. And so he said, Lord, I'm sorry. Come, Holy Spirit. come and do this work. Do this work. And suddenly his church grew to 200, and then it grew to, I think, 1,000, and then he built a 6,000 seater, and it grew to 6,000, and then it grew to 500,000.
Whoa.
And God's, and he said, oh, I've got to go to Japan and have some time out with my wife. And God went, no, I want you to make it grow to 1,000,000. And it's grown to about 1,000,000, because what he did was he gave certain sections of the church to some of his assistants. So if you count all that up, it's about 1,000,000 people. 5 people to 1,000,000. God can do it in Chippenham.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's going to use you. You have to be on fire, friend. This is what I'm saying. You have to have the fire of the Holy Spirit. You have to be a worshiper. You have to receive the fire. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of power. He will anoint you. And the Holy Spirit will give you power to be witnesses. Signs and wonders will follow your ministry. God is in the church. Amen. God is in the church. He is our power. He is our anointing. He is everything that we need. And he wants to burst out of this church and burst out with the love of God. And on the 22nd, we're going to go out carol singing around Pewsham on the Sunday night. I decided, rather than having the carol service here, we're going to go out, sing carols on the streets, and sing the gospel to the people of Chippenham. You up for that?
Yay!
Yep.
Amen. Let's go out and sing the gospel. Everybody loves a carol, don't they? Let's go and sing for the Lord. Sing the words of God. 22nd, 6 o'clock. We're going to meet here, 5:30. Go out and preach through the singing. God is in the church. God is in you. God has anointed you, friend. He has anointed you. And God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. He didn't just have the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit and power. Maybe you've never prayed for the sick. Maybe it's time to use your hands. Amen.
Yeah.
Pray for the sick. Pray for that homeless guy. There was a guy in Chicago. He was called Brian. And his ministry was praying for everybody on the street. That's all he did. He just said, can I pray for you? It was a few minutes of prayer. And go to the next person. Can I pray for you? That was his ministry. Isn't that awesome? Just pray. God's blessing. He prayed for the wealthy and the poor and everybody in between. What a ministry. Your ministry is prayer. You know, it says the early church that they devoted themselves to prayer. That they were devoted to prayer and they were devoted to worship. And God wants us to be devoted to prayer and to be devoted to worship and to his presence, that he might bring his presence in Chippenham. May you take the fire today. May you smash the apathy. May you smash the complacency. May you smash the lukewarmness. May you smash the distractions that are coming against your life, because they come against us all, friend.
Yep.
All the distractions, all the apathy, all the lukewarmness is trying to, it's like grave clothes trying to pull you down. You have to shake them off in Jesus' name. Shake off the grave clothes, shake off the apathy, shake off the complacency, shake off the distractions. Set your face like a flint, just like Jesus did, and said, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to fulfill the will of God. I'm going to press through. You know that little baby that's in the womb, unless he pushes through, he's not going to be born, is he? You have to push through some things. If you want to birth something in the kingdom, you have to push through and be focused and determined and let God use you, because he is going to use you. Push through. Be determined. Focus on Jesus. Just run after Jesus. David said in Psalm 42, he said, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you. When can I go and meet with God? May you wake up tomorrow morning and say, when can I go and meet with God? If you can't seek God in your home, get out in your car and seek him. Go and find a lonely place to seek him. God uses people who pray and who worship and who know that they are priests in the under the Most High. God has called you to serve him. It's God's will for us to be on fire. Amen.
Amen.
It's God's will for you to be red hot for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Shake off those sins, any secret sins, get them confessed to the Lord. Bring them in the open. Get rid of anything doubtful. It's one of the things that Evan Roberts, who's the leader of the revival in Wales, he said, get rid of anything doubtful in your life. If it's doubtful, just get rid of it. If you're not sure about that item in your home, get rid of it. If you're not sure about that thing in your heart, get rid of it. Get rid of the junk, as God said to me some time ago. Get rid of the junk in your life, Keith. We've got to get rid of the stuff, so when you get rid of the junk, God can put fresh stuff in. You can put fresh oil in, fresh anointing, his fresh presence. Will you be on fire for Jesus Christ? Will you allow God to take your life and mold you? Luke 13:23, I listened to these wonderful words of Reinhard, one of the last words he spoke on the internet. And he shared this verse, which is, strive to enter through the narrow gate. It means wrestle to get through. You want to wrestle and strive to get through the narrow gate. Jesus is the gate. Amen. We have to press through. He says, strive to enter through. Many will try to enter, but will not be able to. I pray that every one of us will press through into Jesus and strive to enter through the narrow gate. Go through Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. He's the gate and he's the door to heaven. He's the way into heaven. He is the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. He's the way. Fight, the Bible says, the good fight of faith. You got to fight on Tuesday night. We had a word that Roger brought about the ring. And the interpretation, one of the interpretations was that God has called us to fight in the ring. Great fight last night, I understand. Joshua, wasn't it? Anthony Joshua, trying to regain his title. He won it, I understand. God wants us to fight for him. I had a vision when I started the prayer for Chippenham, and it was like in a boxing ring, and all the people were around inside the boxing ring, and right in the center was Jesus lifted up. Amen. In the middle of the ring, as we pray for Chippenham, Jesus will be Lord of Chippenham. Let's win this town for Christ. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Let us strive to enter through the narrow gate. Watch out for these enemies of complacency, apathy, lukewarmness. They're enemies of your faith. Let's rise up and be strong in the Lord. Amen. Amen. You have a great future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Enter into it. Strive for it. Go for it. Burn for Jesus. John Wesley said, I set myself on fire. Let everybody else come and watch me burn. You can be the same. Amen. Great Methodist. Great man of God. Greatly used of God. When you prayed outside, you had to get out of the trees. Otherwise, the power of God came. You fell on the ground. It's awesome, isn't it? Think what God's going to do through your life. If he can use a little man like John Wesley, he can use every one of us. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise today. Just lift our hands to the Lord. We thank him. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you for the word of God. It's your word, Lord. It's the word that saves. It's the word that heals. It's the word that redeems. Thank you for the word of God and for your Holy Spirit and for your fire that you've put in us, Lord. Father, I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the increase you brought to Yonge Cho from 5 people to 500,000 and then 1,000,000. Lord, you can do it, Father. You can give the increase, Lord, in Chippenham. In our lives, in our nation. Lord, you want to save our nation. You want to heal the people. You want to be Lord of this nation. And I pray you'll forgive us, Lord, for putting everything in your way. And forgive us for our pride and for standing in the way, thinking we're so great when we are just wretched, pitiful, blind, and poor. Lord, open our eyes, especially the eyes of our leaders. Let them see without you, they don't have hope. They don't have a future. They don't have the way forward. But with you, Lord, they can be saved. They can be healed. Oh, Father, we pray for our nation that the leaders will turn back to you and humble themselves and seek your face.
and turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and pray that you will hear from heaven. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters today. I thank you for the word. I pray that Satan will not steal this word. I pray it will be sealed in our hearts in Jesus' name. Seal this word, Holy Spirit. Don't let it be robbed from us. Don't let it be stolen from us. Father, seal it in our hearts and minds. Lord, we're moved right now, but Lord, I pray we'll not lose it when we go out of here. I pray we'll take the word with us. We'll meditate on the word. Father, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry. It's amazing. And it's so life-giving. Thank you. You're the life-giver of the church. We honor you today, Holy Spirit. And fill us with fire, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, Father. Just fill us with fresh fire. We pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just wait on the Lord for a few minutes this morning. Thank you, Father, for all that you are doing today. Just welcome his presence into your life and thank him for all that he's done. But also, I want you to thank him for all that he is going to do through your life and through your ministry as a worshiper, as a priest, as an intercessor. Do you stand in the gap on behalf of your family, on behalf of our town, on behalf of our nation? Just thank him for all that he is going to do by faith. We thank him for all he's going to do. We pray for Mike as he goes to the Philippines. Just bless him, Father. Bless his footsteps, Lord. And may he be anointed by you. And Lord, may he do great things in the Philippines. I pray, Father, you take away just the natural ways and give him the supernatural, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Let him see things that he can minister into people's lives, cripples, or anybody that he meets, Lord. Pray for them. Give him the faith and the boldness, Lord, to step out for you as he goes to the Philippines and not only ministers to his family, but also ministers to others around him. Give him that confidence. Give him a word in season for the people he meets, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, anoint him afresh for a great holiday and a great time in the Philippines. Use him as a mouthpiece for you, Lord. Bless this man. And thank you for Mike's faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for his devotion to this church. And bless him for that, Father, for his commitment to you through Chippenham Christian Fellowship. Thank you for his faithfulness and his example of commitment. And pray you bless him for that. We honor him for that. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done through Mike in his commitment, Lord. Bless this man. We honor him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Wait on the Lord for a few minutes. Hallelujah. I think we just need to do business with God for a few minutes. Say, Lord, I want to respond to the word. Father, I want you to include me. Would you just anoint me, Father, to fulfill all these things that have been spoken today? Father, would you let me be a part of your great kingdom?